In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. I am trying desperately to keep it cool up here, but I am so excited. I feel like I might just float off into the ceiling. Thank you so much for welcoming me. It's been a wonderful first week and a wonderful first Sunday so far as your priest in charge, and I am just delighted to be here and to be with all of you. So the message for today is let your light shine and share the good news. So what is the good news? Just the other day, somebody asked me that. Somebody said, what is the good news that we're supposed to share? How do we talk about that? And I have to admit, that threw me for a loop. I thought about what I would say, what words I would have on hand. The good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from sin and death. That's true. But what if you're talking to somebody who doesn't really know who Jesus Christ is yet? What if that person is in the midst of fear or suffering or grief and they want something that helps them right now? Is there a way to keep the truth of the good news that I just shared while also making it very real and very accessible to the people that need it? And how do we share the good news with people who might not even know that they need God's good news? I want to go back to last week's gospel for a couple of minutes. Last week we heard the Beatitudes, which is the series of those blessed are yous that Jesus teaches his disciples. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Bless those who are grieving. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness and for justice, and those who show mercy, and those who work for peace. And blessed are those who are persecuted, meaning those who persist in proclaiming and acting on their faith, even when people reject that faith or reject the faithful. What's keeping us from speaking up about Christ in our lives when we're not here? Something is keeping most of us from talking about God to our neighbors, to our non-church-going friends, and to our own families sometimes. There is some fear about how we're going to be heard and perceived. If I start talking about Jesus, what are they going to think of me? If I start talking about Jesus, are my beliefs going to be rejected? Am I going to be rejected? Our larger culture is not well prepared to hear about Jesus and the church, and we are not always well prepared to respond to that with words. But God commands us to respond with our actions, which is just as well, because when it comes to following Christ, I think we've all seen how much more our actions are noticed than anything that we have to say. We can hear people talking about how much they love God all day long, but when you look at what they're doing, you have to wonder, are your words meaningful to you? Do you know what you're saying when you talk about Christ, if that's the word, but this is your action? So what is the good news? I was asked this, and I was actually asked this by someone with whom I feel very comfortable, with someone who shares my faith, and I was still unprepared to answer in a way that shows who Jesus Christ is in the world right now. In the face of so much bad news, in the face of so much news that isn't just bad, but actually hints at the presence of real evil at every level of our society, what is the good news? Who is Jesus Christ? How is Christ at work in us? How are our actions going to reflect our faith today? In the face of so much evil, it's hard not to be drawn in by the grand gesture as the only thing that can make a difference. And it's hard not to be discouraged when we're not making some kind of grand gesture. If we're not doing something big, are we doing anything? If we're not doing something big and newsworthy, should we even try? If you drop in on any social media outlet, any news show, you'll see big groups of people, big protest gatherings in big cities, and folks who can and do travel all over the country, or even all over the world, to make their voices heard. You will see and hear about people who pull together big projects to address different needs, people with big groups of followers and big groups of helpers and big finances to help them with that. Everything's big, big, big. And that's not for everyone. Not all of us can go big. For some of us, it was kind of a stretch to get out of bed this morning, especially on a day like today. And so we're left feeling as though there's nothing left for us to do. So how do we proclaim the good news if we're not doing it in some great, big, newsworthy, Instagram-worthy, Facebook-worthy way? Here's where it's really good to remember the disciples and the early church and Jesus, for that matter. Do you know that in all of his earthly ministry, Jesus covered a radius of about 100 miles? That's a lot of walking, to be sure. It's about from here to Cape May, so a radius about like that. You could walk it if you had years to do it, which he did. But the work he did was far greater than any of the distance that he traveled. And at no point did he gather up the disciples and say, you know what? We're going to go straight to the top. Come on, everybody, we're going to Rome. He didn't do that. Nor did he say, we're going to get the biggest group of people together that we can right off the bat. No. He gathered 12. Just 12. 12 people to learn from him and follow him. And it's worth remembering that Jesus didn't go big when he gathered his disciples. None of them were wealthy. None of them were powerful, and none of them were really distinguished in their communities. As for the work that Jesus was doing, aside, of course, from the healing and feeding miracles, most of Jesus' work was centered on things that anyone can do. Teaching, sharing food, listening to friends and strangers and even enemies, weeping with his grieving friends, inviting sinners and outcasts back into community, and talking about God. And talking about God. And talking about God and what God is like and how God is so obviously present right here and right now. And the grand gesture that mattered the most is the one that only God could make. His death and resurrection, his promise to us of eternal life in him. That's already been done. And it was done once for all, for everyone, and for every time. And there is nothing, nothing that we can do that comes close. Even after that, the first role of the disciples after the resurrection was to speak and to act where they were, right where they were. Their first role was to identify people in their own communities who needed the voice and the light of God. Anything big, any grand gesture after that, was still done by God alone, like the Holy Spirit descending at Pentecost, or Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. The work of the disciples was and is accessible by anyone and to everyone. Reading scripture together, praying together, caring for people in need, inviting people into this community of faith. And the good news is bound up in all of these everyday actions. The backbone of the good news is that Christ came to save us from sin and death, period. But what that backbone supports is the church, the body of Christ. That's us. And people who don't know about the church and don't know about Christ, or, as is so often the case, people who have been really badly misinformed about the church and about Christ, for those folks, they're not going to understand what that means unless and until we tell them, or better yet, unless and until we show them, especially if they need us and they don't even know they need us yet. Not with big, grand gestures necessarily, although if any of you want to do that, we'll support you. But that's a calling, and not everybody can or has to do that. The real way our neighbors learn about Christ is by watching how we, as Christians, live and move in the world right where we are, right where they are. Through the everyday work that Jesus did and called his disciples to do, the church was and is built on everyday life. The conversations that we have, the resources that we share, the food that we eat and provide to others, the questions that we ask and answer, the scriptures that we read and talk about, the ways that we talk about God and talk about God and talk about God with our children, with our families, and in the justice at every level that we demand in God's name. And we begin this everyday work right here in church. Sundays give us one, just one, opportunity to get together and hear about God, to read and hear scripture, to teach and to learn, to pray for ourselves and for the world, to eat and laugh and talk together. We begin that work here. And when the season of Lent begins in just 10 days, please mark your calendars for Ash Wednesday, when that season of Lent begins, we'll have more opportunities throughout the week to gather and learn and eat and pray. That can all happen here, but it doesn't end here. That work doesn't end here. We don't end it at all. We need that work. We need our Sundays and our times together so that we can take it with us into our everyday lives, so that we can do the exact same thing with people who need us and who need God and who need a church community in their lives Monday through Saturday when we're not here. And if they're not in here, they especially need to see what is here when we're out there. I know that's kind of chasing it all around, but you start here so you can bring here out there so more people know who we are and where we are and who God is and how God is working through us. That's your work every day. Every day, you'll have opportunities to show people who Jesus is and how he's at work through you. Your actions, your words, your light, the light of Christ becoming your light for people in such great darkness. It starts here. It starts right now. So let your light shine. Share the good news by being the good news. Amen.